He went looking for a lost hammer and found $4.1 million of buried Roman gold coins. On November 16, 1992, Peter Watling from Suffolk, England, lost his hammer. And so he went and got his neighbor and had him bring his metal detector. So he went out through his field looking for his lost hammer and found a whole lot more than a hammer. He ended up finding Roman treasure that dated back to 400 AD that was filled with 14,865 Roman gold, silver, and bronze coins and approximately 200 items of gold jewelry and silver tableware that's worth today at $4.1 million in worth. It's worth that much. We're intrigued by stories of hidden treasure, finding hidden treasure. What would it be like if you found something like this? And as we look at stories like this, we wonder, well, who buried that treasure in this man's field? And what were the circumstances? And how did they come upon that treasure? And why did they hide it? And why was it lost for thousands of years? The scriptures are filled with references to hidden treasure. But the hidden treasure we can read about in Scripture has to do with something so much more valuable than earthly gold and earthly silver. Consider a couple of passages that speak to the wealth and treasure that we have in godly wisdom. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 4. Over and over again in the book of Proverbs, the reference is made for us to seek after wisdom as if it were gold and treasure. In Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 4, listen to these words of wisdom that the wise father gives to his son. My son, verse 1, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure. So, Will, how, if you knew that you had millions of dollars in a field somewhere near your neighborhood, how diligently would you search for it? Well, God says there's something more important, that is to seek, like you are, seeking after God and studying His Word. Also, Psalm 119, verses 162, reminds us of what is most important in life, and that you are here today to seek after godliness and wisdom. Psalm 119, and verse 162, says, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. Today we're going to read about treasure, hidden treasure, and in fact, hidden treasure that we read about in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and this treasure that God hid was a person, was an important soul that led his people out of slavery into redemption. And that's the story of Moses. So turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. And we will revisit this story and learn about how God hid treasure. And that that treasure was Moses. And what we can learn about how he hid and protected Moses. And some of the valuable lessons about how God can hide and protect us. And as we look at that, I want to ask these three questions. You know, why did God hide Moses? When did he hide Moses? And where did he hide him? And what's involved in that idea of hiding? As we turn there, I want to welcome you hear, and as Adam did such a good job talking about the Lord's Supper and the contribution and making reference to Mother's Day, we want to honor our mothers. What a joy it is to have Dennis's mom with us. We're glad to have you, and then just so thankful for my mother and all that she's done for me, and we're glad to have this day of remembrance. Hebrews chapter 11, let's read, starting in verse 23. And here we find the treasure that God hid was a baby soul. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. We read in this account that God hid Moses. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 1 and read what happened concerning the details and when he was born. The people of the Hebrews had become so mighty and so great in number that Pharaoh, rather than being thankful to have God's people in his own land blessing his people, decided to inflict hard bondage upon them and make them slaves. In Exodus chapter 1, he became so diligent in his determination to suppress them that, think about this, he's willing to kill innocent babies. We'll hear from time to time in the news of somebody who killed an innocent baby, and we're horrified at the details of such stories. We're here, countless children are being killed and murdered and thrown into the Nile River. And this was the wishes, this were the circumstances in which we read about this godly mother, Jochebed, who made an example of faith in trusting in God so that God would hide her baby. Exodus chapter 1, it says in verse 13, "So the Egyptians made their children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and brick, in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shipharah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, 'When you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live.'" So Moses' parents were living in an environment where their children were being killed. And then verse 22, it says, "So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, 'Every son who is born to you, you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive.'" This is the environment in which Moses was born. In chapter 2, we find out about the particulars of his parents. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife the daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months." The future deliverer of God's people, the one who would break, as Pharaoh is trying to break the back of the Hebrew people, the one who would end up being used by God to break the back of Pharaoh's people is being hidden. He's just this innocent baby, and God hides this baby in the house of a slave. Not only is her pregnancy has to be hidden, you just imagine, how would you hide your pregnancy without drawing attention to the fact that you're about to have a baby, and then to hide the fact that it was a male, and then to hide a baby for 3 months. And what kind of house would they have lived in? Just been a poor, lowly slave house for 3 months. God hid the future deliverer of his people in a slave house. Think about the imagery of what this is going to represent as we go through this story. God hid this innocent child and protected him, gave him safety, a place of reprieve. Fanny Crosby wrote the words to this song, hide me, O blessed Savior, hide me. O Savior, keep me safely, O Lord, with thee. We live in a world where Satan wants to destroy the souls of our children. And we have to trust that even though politicians or educators or worldly people or evil neighbors, the people that we live in this world, want the souls of our children, we can be confident that we can hide their souls in our humble homes, and that God will protect our children. And don't let your children be given over to Satan. I see it repeatedly where I'll see some parents that just prop their children in front of a television or a movie that's filled with profanity and disrespect, and they're just saying as if it were, okay, here you go, Pharaoh, here you go, Satan, take the souls of my children. We live in a dangerous time, but we read of a godly mother who was not afraid of the king's order, was willing to risk her life to hide a baby in her home for 3 months. God protected this child, and we need to be confident that though we live in a day that's filled with danger, we can have protection for our children and our family if we hide ourselves in the hands of the Lord. The next thing that happens, if you go back to Exodus chapter 2 and verse 3, is after it came to a point where the baby could not be hidden anymore in the house for 3 months, that I cannot imagine this. We read this as a story that's beautiful of baby Moses being put in a basket down this river. But what kind of river was this? We're at the ocean, where there's somebody just the Sunday before we got there, there was a little boy swimming and there was a riptide, and a 29-year-old went out to go save the boy. He saved the boy, but then the 29-year-old died. And we see children just barely get approach dangerous water, and we want to protect them. For Moses' parents to put him in a basket in the Nile River, where there would have been dangerous tides, snakes, crocodiles. The Nile River has crocodiles that are up to 20 feet long. This is the river that Pharaoh said that you're supposed to throw the babies into to die. But they did this with faith, and God hid Pharaoh and protected him in a river of opposition and a river of tribulation. But there was faith that God would take care of the baby. Fanny Crosby continues to write in her song, "Hide me when the storm is raging over life's troubled sea, like a dove on ocean's billows, let me fly to thee." Moses' parents had to have faith that God would protect him. This future deliverer, where did God let this child go? Be hidden in a slave house, be hidden in a river. There was trouble and opposition, but even in that river of water, there was safety and protection. As we go through troubles in our life, and rivers of opposition and rivers of tribulation, we need to know that we're going to find safety and protection. We all will have to go through those dark rivers of difficulty and trouble. But God protected Moses, and God will protect us, and He'll protect our children. And then where does God hide Moses next? The very child, the young males that Pharaoh's trying to kill, the one that's going to break the back of the Egyptian empire, is now brought into Moses' house. In Exodus chapter 2, we read about how Pharaoh's daughter finds baby Moses, and she adopts and takes over the care of baby Moses, and then she brings him and raises him in Pharaoh's house. The very redeemer of the people of God who would break the back of Pharaoh, Moses being brought up in his own house. No, that's something that only God could do. God protected Moses in the enemy's house. What an amazing story. In Exodus chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, we read about it. Stephen makes reference to it, if you want to look in your New Testament, to Acts chapter 7, and in verse 17 through 22. Where is God hiding Moses? In a house of slavery, in a river of tribulation, and then now even in the enemy's house. Acts chapter 7, Stephen describes these events very well, beginning in verse 17. "But when the time of promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, till another king arose who did not know Joseph. This man dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our forefathers, making them expose their babies so that they might not live. At this time Moses was born and was well-pleasing to God, and he was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Now when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And it goes on to describe the things that he did. But what I want to emphasize is the providential direction of God to let Moses be hidden in the very house of his enemy, because then Moses in verse 22 said he was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. He was able to learn the ways of the Egyptians, to be educated so that he could then deal with Pharaoh and lead the people out of their bondage. God will take us and hide us in these different situations where he's protecting us and he's equipping us and he's given us opportunity for one day that which has been hidden will be revealed to do great deeds for God. Moses was hidden in these different places. What do we see then? We say, well, when does God hide? God did this not only with Moses, but it's a very similar pattern. He did it with Joseph. Joseph had somebody wanted to kill him, and then he was taken to a slave house. And then he went through a time of tribulation and opposition where he's in prison. And then he rises to preeminence in Pharaoh's house. It's the same steps. That God took Joseph, who his brothers wanted dead. He hid him and he protected him. He went through a time of opposition. And then that hidden treasure came to a point where there was a revelation and a triumph. Can you think of anybody else that God did these same steps with? Jesus. Exactly. Jesus, when he was a baby, Herod wanted Jesus to be killed. And so Jesus was raised, came and took on flesh, John 1 tells us, and dwelt among men in the sense of being among the houses of those that are slaves. We're all slaves to sin. And then God hid him in the womb of a virgin, a poor virgin woman. He hid him in a manger. He hid him in the house of a carpenter. He hid him among the people until one day he stood up on the stage of the Jews at the temple and proclaimed the glories of God. And then if you want to even go farther, as you look at this parallel, that he was among the house of those that are enslaved in sin, and he goes, he's crucified. That's his tribulation. And then he goes to the spirits in prison. And then he goes to Satan's house himself in Hades and breaks open the gates and triumphs. Follows these same steps where God hid the Messiah among men to one day that treasure would be revealed to carry out the glory of the Father and the glory of God's great mystery. So the question is, we see God doing this over and over again where he hides. When does he do this? When do you know, Emily, if you were to hide something, maybe you had something, why would you hide anything? We've all hidden things. You hide something because it has great value. It's worth something. So you put it in a special place in your room or your closet. You hide something. You put it in a safe. You put it in a bank. You bury it. I don't know, Adam, if you have something buried in your backyard. You hide something that's of value. So when does God hide something? That tells us that when God hides us, and we're going to look at a few verses in a minute, especially in the book of Psalms, it talks about how we can be hidden in the care of God. It means that we're valuable to God, and he's going to protect us. When does God hide something? When do you hide something? Not only is it a recognition of the fact that there's great value, but it also recognizes that there is some danger involved in losing whatever it is of great value. You hide something when there's a risk of something being taken. So Satan sees the value of your children, sees the value of your soul, sees the value of the church, he sees the value of the gospel, and so he wants to destroy it. So Satan wants to destroy us, to send us to hell, to take away all those blessings that we have. And then when you hide something, there's a coming sense of anticipation or reward. So Emily, if you had something of great worth, you're not hiding it so it would just be gone forever. You're hiding it because it's valuable. You're hiding it to protect it from something dangerous. But there is an anticipation of one day you're going to enjoy it. And it's going to be revealed. you see the application for us? That God allows you, your family, to be hidden in Him. And you see the blessing. It's saying that you're valuable. And He's protecting you from danger. But we can't just stop here and say, I'm just going to hide out as a Christian for my whole life. There has to be a coming revelation of the treasure, the blessing of God. Moses, God didn't hide Moses in the slave house, in the Nile, in the Pharaoh's house to then do nothing. There was a coming revelation of the treasure. God didn't hide Joseph so that he would never come to fruition in his work for God. And God didn't hide Jesus so that nothing would come of it. We need to see the blessing of the being hidden in God, but to recognize that there's a coming revelation. And so with that, I want to look at our third point and just ask, well, why does God hide? What is the purpose of the hiding? Let's look at Psalm 17 and verse 7. God hid Moses in the slave house, and he hid him in the Nile River, and he hid him in Pharaoh's house as a time of protection. He hid Moses in the slave house to protect him from death. God hides us to protect us. Psalm 17 in verse 7, it says, show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand, O you who save those who trust in you, from those who rise up against them. Keep them as the apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. So when we were talking this morning, I think I was talking to Jody about, you know, Jessica's coming up on her senior year and Jack. And so we're sending you out into the world, and you've had a time of protection with your family and all the things that you're doing, but we're going to be praying this prayer for you, that you stay under the protection of the shadow of the wings of God. That God will protect you as you go out into the world to do great things for Him. God is our protector. Look at a couple pages over to chapter 27, or Psalm 27. We'll read several verses here. Listen to the beauty of the protection we receive when we hide in God. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? These are words of confidence by somebody who is protected by God. When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. There's this dramatic picture of danger all around him. Verse 4, the one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion and the secret place of His tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. The protection that we receive. So why does God hide? It's for protection. We can find safety instead of running. We can, you know, our families will be protected. The church will be protected. Our children will be protected. Your soul will be protected. The hiding is not just the protection, but it's also an equipping. God hid Moses in Pharaoh's house so that in Acts chapter 7 he would learn the wisdom, the knowledge that he would need to be a leader. God hid him in the desert, in the wilderness, for 40 years as a shepherd with Jethro, so he would learn to be equipped as a shepherd. When he left Egypt because they wanted him dead because he had killed an Egyptian, God hid him and protected him in the shepherd, as a shepherd. But that was a process that not only he was protected, but he learned the skills necessary to one day be revealed as this treasure of God. Moses was learning exactly what he needed to learn. He was growing stronger and wiser every day. So what is it that you're learning in the protection of God to prepare you for something great to come? Being a mother, being a grandmother, being an elder, being a teacher, being a college student. You're being equipped. And then finally, why does God go through this process? Is there's a protection, there's an equipping, and then there's a final revelation where you stand with your feet on the rock, as we just read in Psalm 27, confident that you can do great things for God in triumph and in service. So as we conclude, I want you to think about this image of this hidden treasure. So what has God given you? He's given you a soul. What are you doing with that treasure? Are you hiding it in God? Are you seeing His providence being enacted in your life and how you're being equipped for something in the future? And when that day comes, will you be ready? So Jack and Jessica, will you be ready when you go out into the world? That your parents have hidden you in the care of God, and then one day, with God's protection and His providence, you will be ready to serve Him to a greater extent. What treasure has God given you? As you look at your family, has He given you children? Has He given you grandchildren? What will you do with that treasure? And then God has given us, look at Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. God has given us the treasure of the gospel. And we study it, and we come week after week, and we learn of God's treasures, this treasure that has been hidden, this mystery that's been revealed. We need to find protection in it. We need to be equipped by it, but then we need to go out and tell it to others. Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I want you to know what great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So as a Christian, you have the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden in you as you hide God's word in your heart and you go out to proclaim it. This beautiful picture of what God has given you. And then finally, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, and you see reference again to the terminology of hidden treasure. For if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, you also will appear with Him in glory. Have you hidden your life with Christ in God? And it is in that you see that you have value. You're protected from danger. There is reward coming. You have the tools that you need to go out into the world. And then will you be ready to stand? I feel that God has protected our families and He's protected us as a congregation. And we need to be ready for what is next, to go out and proclaim the gospel, because He has hidden it in us. Will you hide your life in Christ? We read to do that, you need to put to death, verse 5, your members which are on the earth. You need to be crucified, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 4, with Christ, confessing Jesus as the Son of God and repenting of your sins. You put to death the sins of the past of the old man and rise and walk in newness of life. Will you become a Christian and hide your life in Christ so that you can be this hidden treasure that's protected by God? And if you are a Christian and you've been discouraged, or maybe you look at the difficulties, look at how many reasons why Moses could have been discouraged, or Joseph, or Jesus, that they used those circumstances to know that God was protecting them. So if you're going through a difficult time, find protection in God and be determined to stay faithful and serve Him and see your value in the kingdom. If you need any help, any way we can help you spiritually, if you need to be restored, if you need to obey the gospel, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?